The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, who was not with them when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Have you ever had this experience? A little one, a little child comes running up to you to show you their Band-Aid, and out comes the rest of the story. "I was riding my bike, and I fell over, and I skinned my knee, and it bled really, really bad. And Mom gave me a choice between a Mickey Mouse Band-Aid and a Donald Duck Band-Aid, and I chose Mickey Mouse. See? It's going to bleed," she said, "and then it's going to scab, and then maybe it's going to scar. Do you know what a scar is?" They just want to share. Of course they want attention, but in the telling of the story, it validates what happened to them. It validates their experience and their pain. And yes, it might scab, and then yes, it just might scar. We too have had some scars, haven't we? We grown-ups. Scar from a burn, a long scar for a joint replacement, maybe an open heart surgery. A scar is a consequence of an injury, and at times the body must be injured in order to heal. And so a scar is a natural consequence, but it's a process of a wound that heals. So a scar comes from healing. And Jesus' wounds had already healed on that first day, on that Easter day, without asking. Jesus just chose them. He said, "Look, here I am. See the scars in my hands from where the nails were. Have a look." It was almost too much for the disciples, and wow, it's almost too much for us, right? I mean, because before last week, we thought the only thing certain in life were death and taxes, and now we can't even count on death. A dead man is not supposed to rise. Resurrection is irrational, but there Jesus is. He's showing us his scars. "Look, it really happened, and yes, I am here." The scars tell a story. Our scars remind us of who we are. "I got that ugly thing from a surgery. Yeah, I was in a car accident 20 years ago, and my head hit the steering wheel, and then the window glass broke in. It's a bad scar. For some of us, those scars prompt us to be thankful. "God was with me. No reason I should have survived that car crash." For others, the scars are a constant reminder of pain. "Yeah, hip surgery, it didn't work. My cancer came back, took part of my ear." A constant reminder of a story that didn't end well. But for we post-Easter Christians, We see Jesus' scars as a vestige of Good Friday. It really happened. They did indeed nail our Lord to the tree and crucify him. We need to see Jesus' hands because they tell us a story of humanity's sin, which is also why Thomas had to see them. He knew the first part of the story, but he wasn't there on Easter. He only wanted what the rest of the disciples had already gotten. He wanted to see for himself. He wanted to be back in relationship with a living Jesus, not the one that he remembered having died on the tree. He needed to see the wounds. And so Jesus says, here, put your finger. See, touch, it was real. And that evidence would help Thomas figure it all out because resurrection just isn't the easiest thing to absorb. Jesus wasn't some cosmic ghost. He was offering his body as proof. And in that moment, Thomas had what he needed. He had encountered the living God because the resurrected God now had resurrected his relationship. And he was back in the fold. From scars come healing. You ever notice, taking a look at one of yours, it doesn't look like the rest of your skin, right? It grows back looking a little bit different because it's new. Something new coming from old, dead life. And in that tomb, Jesus had deep battle scars. He went to battle on our behalf. And he had scars from battling sin and death and loneliness and hunger and poverty and injustice and illness. No wonder his scars were deep. Scars come from wounds, but they bring healing. Maybe some of you have read or watched the Harry Potter books or movies. Harry Potter has a scar on his forehead because little baby Harry, 15 months old, Voldemort is trying to murder him. But Harry's mother has undying, unrestrained love for her baby. She gets in the way, and because of that, Harry is saved. And he's left with a scar on his head, a reminder of his mother's unrestrained love, which kills Voldemort in the process. And when we look at Jesus' scars, we see, again, evidence of this unrestrained, unimaginable love for us. His scars didn't keep him down. Christ is risen just as much today as last Sunday. And our scars don't have to keep us down either. It may be too late to write a better ending, but it's never too late. It's never too late to write a new beginning, which is what Jesus was doing. He was writing a new beginning to a story that continued. Resurrection won, scars healed, all things made new in Easter. And nobody knew this better than Saul. Saul, remember, was the one crucifying, going after Christians, Jesus, going after Christians who were following Jesus in the book of Acts. And Jesus found him on the road and made him blind for a time, struck him down blind, so that when God's grace came to him, he would receive his sight, he would receive a new name, and he would know that it had nothing to do with him. It was all about the risen Christ. In many of Paul's letters, he writes to us, remember the crucified and risen Christ. He doesn't just say risen. Paul remembers the crucified and risen Christ, the one who suffered just like I'm suffering now for you, Paul writes, as I sit in prison, as I endure suffering just like the Lord suffered. Have you looked at Jesus' hands lately? They bear some scars, just like the ones that we have, which hopefully make him all the more accessible to us as we might come running with our own fall off the bike story. Jesus, look, it hurts. It hurts. And maybe we need healing from scars about the future or a long battle with a disease or a relationship that went wrong. Maybe we need other people to come alongside and help us with our scars. Just like the little boy who showed up at Vacation Bible School on Wednesday in the middle of the week. He got ushered into the teacher's classroom. She didn't have time to talk to him, but immediately noticed he only had one arm. His other arm was just a scar. She was worried that the other children might embarrass him, and she proceeded with caution because she, again, didn't know his story. He just came into the room. But the day went on, and she began to feel more at ease. The kids were behaving okay. And so without any reticence, she said, "Let's do our closing ritual. Well, it was the riddle about the church. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors. See all the..." And then, with embarrassment, she suddenly realized she had done what she was afraid the children would do. She was embarrassed because little Davy, he only had one arm. He couldn't do the riddle, but a little girl saved her. Sitting next to Davy, she said, "Don't worry, Davy, here." She put up her arm with his arm, and then they did it again. "Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors. See all the people." You know, Jesus came alongside to heal us, to heal our scars. We can help one another because indeed the risen Christ lives in us. And that is what we are called to do and to be. As his scars take over ours, he offers us peace. The smell of last week's Easter flowers, I've gone. To tell you the truth, I put the artificial ones in these because these looked pretty bad. But Jesus' scarred hands are reaching out to us, even on this week later, to take our suffering into his own suffering body, which will bring us new life. And to that we can only say, Christ is risen. Amen.